Welcome to the Think With AI podcast, powered by Your Brand Exposed. I'm Alex, Scott's AI assistant. This is a space for curious business leaders, marketers, and sales pros who want to feel confident using AI, not overwhelmed by it. Each episode, we'll unpack one clear idea, share simple examples, and help you see how AI assistants can support the way you already think, sell, and build. So settle in. And let's explore more about this fast-moving AI world. Let's get into it.
Today, we're wading into, a topic you just can't avoid in business right now, AI. AI adoption is everywhere, right? You've got specialized tools, teams have gone through basic prompt training. AI is, it's in the workflow. But here's the big problem we saw across all the sources you sent us. The business results. They're just wildly uneven. You have some organizations that are suddenly moving faster, making these dramatically better decisions. They're seeing real gains. And then you have others who are just stuck in what the research is calling perpetual experimentation. So our mission today is pretty straightforward. We need to understand that difference. How do organizations get from just using AI to actually gaining a real, durable, competitive AI advantage?
And that is exactly where the core insight we're going to explore today comes in. Because the competitive edge, it is absolutely not about access to the technology anymore.
Everyone has it.
Everyone has access to these powerful foundational models. But that access on its own is just not enough. The difference, and what all the sources are pointing to, is fundamentally about how AI is designed within the business.
Okay.
The leaders who are really seeing these results, they've moved past treating AI like some shiny new tool. They're intentionally building structured AI assistance as core architected business capabilities.
Okay, so you're saying the central argument we're unpacking is that AI advantage is created through design, not experimentation.
Exactly. And through architecture, not just adoption.
Let's push back on that a bit. When you say architecture, are we just talking about better IT infrastructure, or is this something, much more fundamental to how the business operates?
It's absolutely fundamental to the operating model. The whole conversation around AI has entered this new, more mature phase. Simple adoption, rolling out a chat interface, or training people on basic prompt hygiene. That's not the differentiator anymore. We are past that point.
So let's focus on those organizations that are stuck in that loop, that experimentation phase. What's the root cause of these constantly uneven results?
It really comes down to utility versus capability. When AI is just treated as a general purpose utility, like a calculator or a search engine,
right,
the outputs fluctuate like crazy. And that's because the tool has no memory of your company's context or its risk tolerance or what's happened before. And, what happens when outputs fluctuate, even if they're often good?
This just plummets.
Trust erodes. And teams end up spending a massive amount of time double-checking the AI's work.
But wait a second. If the tool saves them time at the start, why don't they just, enforce better validation steps or try to refine the prompts? Why is going back to manual work the common failure here?
Because the cost of validating an inconsistent output is often way higher than the time you saved in the first place. Think about it. If a team lead has to spend 10 minutes correcting a summary that the AI generated in 3, they've gained nothing. There's no net advantage. So they quickly realize the path of least resistance and the one with the highest trust is to just quietly go back to the manual process they already know.
Right.
The source material put this perfectly. It said, these struggling leaders are looking the wrong way. They're expecting AI to be some kind of magic pill that works without any foundational engineering.
So the failure isn't technical. It's organizational, structural. You actually have to design for trust. So, contrast that with advantage. What does it look like when AI is treated like an architected assistant, not just some volatile tool?
It's all about compounding value. When that assistant has a defined role, when it has persistent context and disciplined reasoning all baked into its architecture, it starts to build value over time. The second you introduce that consistency and reliability, decisions speed up, errors go down, and all that organizational knowledge becomes reusable. It gets codified.
So AI stops being just.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, like a cool party trick.
And it starts being genuinely necessary.
That makes the distinction so clear. Adoption is just about trying. Advantage is about structure.
Exactly.
And that structure is what allows the assistant to function less like this general purpose software that you constantly have to correct, and more like a dependable digital teammate that's really embedded in the business.
Absolutely. I mean, think about your most reliable human employee. You don't ask them to relearn the company's entire risk profile every single morning, do you?
Of course not.
You expect them to carry that context forward. And that's exactly what architectural design does for AI.
That leads us right into the core of this, then, the difference between tools and systems. Why do these isolated tools fail to create any real leverage while the architected systems succeed?
Well, a tool, by its very nature, just performs a single function, its input-output. But a system creates momentum, it manages dependencies, it maintains a state, and it compounds value across many, many interactions.
So when we talk about AI assistance becoming a core business capability, what does that actually mean?
It means it's something that is no longer optional. It's not experimental. It's something you rely on daily to operate safely and effectively. And that transformation happens because these well-designed assistants, they sit right at the intersection of five critical business functions.
And these functions really define the scope of the advantage, don't they? We're not just talking about summarizing an article anymore.
Not at all.
We're talking about high speed, relevant knowledge access, yes, but then integrating that with instant decision support that knows what you've done before. It guarantees process consistency across different teams, and it even creates built-in training and enablement that shortens the ramp-up time for new hires.
And all of that feeds into sharper strategic thinking for the leadership. It's a massive amount of integrated leverage.
It really is.
It's the difference between, say, using a general AI to draft an email and using an architected AI assistant to draft a client-facing proposal. One that ensures the proposal not only follows the current pricing and compliance rules, but also uses the specific tone and vocabulary that you know that client's account team prefers. The first one is just a task.
And the second is a capability. It's a powerful distinction. An assistant without architecture is, well, it's unpredictable. But an assistant with architecture becomes dependable.
Exactly. And here's the practical test the source material gives for you, the listener. If your AI recessed its context every single time you talk to it.
Starts from scratch.
If it gives you wildly inconsistent guidance on the same policy question, depending on who's asking, or if it feels helpful for, say, brainstorming, but you'd never trust it for a high-stakes compliance check.
Then you're still just operating with tools.
You are. You haven't built a true AI assistant system yet.
So this is really about generating compounding interest on knowledge, not just focusing on these one-off transactional moments.
Mm. Precisely. And we have to emphasize this. An AI assistant is not differentiated by what it knows. It is defined by how it thinks, how it reasons, and this is crucial, how it applies that persistent context over time. Without that intentional structure, AI outputs feel like a lottery ticket. Sometimes you win. With structure, they feel aligned, reliable, trustworthy.
And that's the alignment that lets leaders actually trust the AI in meaningful high-stakes decisions, not just low-risk stuff like summarizing the news.
Exactly.
This brings us to a really critical concept from the source material. They title it Prompts, Plateau, and Assistant Scale. For the listener who right now is spending hours trying to perfect their prompt engineering, why is just focusing on prompts not enough to get a long-term advantage?
Because prompting, even really, really good prompting, it only produces isolated outputs. A prompt solves a moment. An architected AI assistant solves a pattern. A whole process.
Can you walk us through a practical example of that failure?
Sure. Think about a marketing team trying to standardize their messaging across different product lines. They hire five brilliant prompt engineers. Each one is a genius at creating a prompt that generates a great first draft. But because they're only relying on prompts, the AI is operating without any awareness of key factors.
Like what?
Like, was the last campaign to this audience formal or casual? Did the legal team reject version 5 because we use a specific technical term? What's our current internal risk tolerance for this product launch?
Uh-huh. It's like having a brand new intern every time you open the chat window.
That's a perfect analogy.
I have to reteach them all the internal rules, the brand voice, the history of recent mistakes every single time.
Exactly. And that lack of continuity, that constant retraining, that is the prompts plateau. You hit a point where adding more skill or more complex prompts just doesn't get you significantly better results because the fundamental context keeps getting wiped clean.
Whereas a properly designed AI assistant, it's the institutional memory. It carries that context forward. It learns how the business communicates, how it decides, how it prioritizes. So continuity, not novelty, becomes its absolute foundation. And here's where it gets really interesting.
That continuity is the secret sauce. Yeah. It's what transforms AI from, you know, an entertaining novelty into critical infrastructure. It's what drives trust. And more importantly, it's what drives scale. If your assistant can handle the context for 100 customers just as reliably as it handles the context for one, you've achieved scale.
Right.
And we know what drives that consistency. It's the design of the AI's memory, reasoning, and instructions.
Okay, let's pull those three apart because they sound simple, but they're so foundational. Memory, reasoning, and instructions.
Right. Memory just means the system keeps a persistent, structured log of past actions, decisions, and all those organizational constraints that have to inform future outputs.
Okay.
Reasoning is the defined logical structure that we program in to make sure it processes inputs consistently, always aligning with business rules. And instructions are the preloaded operating parameters, the internal policies, the preferred output formats that it must follow no matter what a simple user prompt tries to tell it to do.
Okay, so if I prompt an architected assistant, write this proposal in an extremely casual tone. But the internal instructions say all proposals must be B2B formal.
The assistant's reasoning framework will override your prompt and stick to the policy.
Ah.
Precisely. And that allows the leader to trust the output because the system is designed to be disciplined, not just compliant with every casual request from a user.
Now we get to the part that it seems most businesses just overlook completely, this internal thinking layer. The sources argue that an assistant isn't differentiated by its access to information, which is pretty standard now, but by its reasoning framework. They call it the thinking layer.
This is so crucial. The thinking layer is the intentional architecture that governs the decision-making process inside the assistant. It's basically the programmed rulebook for how the AI should approach a problem, not just what data it looks at.
This is where the real advantage is.
Yes.
And the functions this framework governs are incredibly strategic and granular. It dictates how objectives are identified, how stakeholder priorities are weighed, how it handles uncertainty.
Right. Does it default to being risk-averse, or does it aggressively pursue an opportunity?
How credibility is protected, even how clarity is prioritized in the final output. I mean, that is essentially modeling the strategic brain of the company in a piece of software.
That's exactly what it is. And you can imagine the difference in how two high-performing companies handle, say, a sudden regulatory change. One company's AI is designed to prioritize speed and volume of output. The other's thinking layer is architected to prioritize deep multi-stakeholder risk analysis and protecting its credibility.
The outputs would be night and day.
Completely different.
The sources use this powerful comparison. Two different leaders can use the exact same foundational AI model, the best one available. One leader interacts with that raw capability. They type in their prompts, they get a decent but generalized response. But the other leader, they're operating a design system, one that has that sophisticated organizational reasoning framework already built in.
And the outcomes are just radically different. The speed, the safety, the scale of the advantage, it belongs, hands down, to the second leader. The material really emphasizes this. The person who built the foundation, the architect, gets the competitive edge, not the person who just licensed the most expensive model.
In building this framework, this thinking layer, it's so much more than just simple prompts or settings. It requires intentional architecture that is deeply aligned with how your organization's leaders actually think and decide.
It demands time, leadership input, and real disciplinary rigor. And that's the hard work. That's the necessary work that moves you past experimentation and into a genuine advantage.
It's the difference between asking AI, give me an option, and asking an architected assistant, giving the optimal option, considering our last five quarterly performance reviews and the current risk budget.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the final stage of advantage, and maybe the most transformative one, the collaboration. The real gains don't come from AI just operating in a silo, but from this powerful alchemy of the human and AI partnership.
This is where you see that amplification effect really come into play. A properly designed AI assistant doesn't replace human judgment or instinct or decades of experience. It amplifies them. By handling all the complex, detailed stuff, the consistency, the recall, removes the friction from our thinking process. It gets rid of that data retrieval tax so the human leader can focus entirely on applying context, navigating nuance, managing relationships.
And making those high consequence ethical calls.
That's right. It clears the intellectual clutter.
It's a true symbiotic relationship. And our sources were really clear about the specific roles in this partnership and how they compound insight. Let's make sure the listener knows exactly what each side is bringing to the table. On the AI side, the architected assistant brings structure, recall, speed, and consistency. It handles the data, the process, the rules of engagement.
And the human side brings the non-negotiables, the things AI can't replicate. That's intuition, ethics, creativity, and ultimately accountability.
That's a good one.
The AI never takes accountability for a bad decision. The human owner does. So the design has to make sure the human is always brought in at that point of maximum leverage where their judgment is really needed.
So by blending the AI's structural discipline with human intuitive creativity, you get a system that creates a superior result, a capability neither the human nor the AI could have achieved on their own. And that partnership is what turns AI from just a powerful technology into an extraordinary, durable business asset. So what does this all mean for everyone listening? I think the summary here is crystal clear. The leaders who are pulling ahead right now, they're not chasing the newest models or the latest features. They are building foundations. They understand that the competitive advantage isn't about what the technology can do in a vacuum, but how intentionally and consistently it's embedded into the decision-making DNA of their business. So let's review those core takeaways for you, the listener, if you're ready to move from that low-value experimentation to high-impact advantage. First, AI advantage is created through architecture, that intentional design, not just broad adoption. Second, prompts deliver isolated moments, but architected assistants deliver reliable, scalable systems. And finally, these well-designed AI assistants, they move past being disposable tools and become foundational, non-negotiable business assets.
This all really boils down to a single reality that the market is demanding. The modern business requires speed, clarity, and consistency at scale. So if the people who design for that reality now will be the ones defining the competitive landscape in the future, what foundational capability must you design first to make sure your organization is one of them? Are you still just prompting a tool, or are you architecting a system?
Great food for thought to leave you with. We'd encourage you to look at your own workflows and just ask, are you operating with random siloed tools or an intentional, disciplined, architected system? Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the architecture of AI Advantage. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Think with AI podcast, powered by Your Brand Exposed. We hope this episode gave you at least one clear idea you can put into practice right away. Remember, an AI advantage doesn't come from using more tools. It comes from designing the right assistants around the way you already do business. Until next time, keep thinking with AI, and we'll be ready for another hot topic in the next episode.